الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى التابعين. We praise Almighty Allah, the one who created us, the one who owns life, and the one who gives life and takes life. There is no one else who is given the power to do so except the Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who drives the rain, the wind, the one who distributes the rizq to each and every one of us, the one who has given us the best gift of all, the gift of our brain power to think, to make decisions and choices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may peace and prayers be showering the souls of all of his prophets and the last of all prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibadallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abiduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness, there is no deity, there is no God but one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of all messengers. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Eid Mubarak to each and every one of you. And I pray to Allah that all the brothers and sisters that went for Hajj this year, to come back to their families safe and sound, that Allah has accepted their Hajj, and that Allah will accept those brothers and sisters who died yesterday throwing stones at the devil 2 days ago, will be for sure accepted in paradise, and that inshallah we all will learn, inshallah we will learn, so inshallah we will not make the same mistakes again. And the signs of Allah keep teaching us on how to improve the process of our Hajj. So inshallah, the years to come will be better years for all the Muslims, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, for those who have not performed Hajj yet, we pray that Allah will give you all the resources and that he will position you, inshallah, to be ready for the most important part and pillar of Islam, the pillar of Hajj. As we witness the fourth day of the Eid and the last day of the Eid, I want to reflect with you on this most important pillar the pillar of the Hajj. If you think about it, it is the process of changing a Muslim from being just a Muslim saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah to becoming a full-fledged member of a nation, of an ummah, of a club, which has nothing in mind and no interest but to glorify Allah and to raise the word La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And when you look at the process of Hajj, it fascinates me because it is so standardized and universal. All over the world, regardless where you come from, it is the same process, regardless what your school of thought is, it is the same process, it is the same center around which Muslims rotate, it is the same slogans that the Muslims shout, and it is the same system and the same Quran and the same Prophet they all subscribe to. But most fascinating of all is how it proceeds. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ دَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet the order to invite al-Nas, and those who decide to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, to go for Hajj. And the fascinating part in the surah is يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. They come to you on their feet, walking. And as you know, about 40 years ago, many Muslims used to walk to Hajj from Jordan, from Syria. But the most fascinating experience I went through was when I was in Saudi Arabia and I met brothers and sisters from Chechnya. Chechnya, what is now Russia. Who told me that they still go for Hajj until today, walking from Chechnya to Saudi Arabia to perform the Hajj in Mecca, and we say Allahu Akbar. And the fascinating thing about it is that the Chechenian brothers and sisters who went through countries like Syria and Jordan, some of them decided to sit in some of these countries and start families, and that's why some of the most affluent and well-known families in Egypt and Syria and Jordan are the Chechni or Shishini or Shishini families. And that shows you the value of Muslims crossing boundaries so they can get to know each other and they can get to be brothers and sisters and family members of the one and the only family of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And I say this in contrast with what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Turkey. I don't know if you know this or not, but until today, the Turkish Muslims cannot go for Hajj using surface roads. They cannot get on a bus or an automobile and go for Hajj. They are required by the so-called secular government to take an aeroplane, a chartered aeroplane, fly into Saudi Arabia and fly back so they do not mix with the rest of the Muslims. And inshallah, this will change in due time, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ دَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. The purpose of the Hajj is for your own benefit. وَلِيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the benefit of the Hajj? Let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no other nation in this world, regardless what you call it, the Buddhist nation, the Christian nation, the Jewish nation, that has such a conference that is held on a regular basis every year, attracting from 2 to 3 million, all subscribing to the same system, following the same procedure. But the nation of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And I say this because I want to remind myself and you of what is common amongst the Muslims, and many of us tend to forget it. We start the Hajj from a place or a certain time called the Miqat. And this is the time when you start doing a process which is called al-ihram. And al-ihram means that from that time on, you have to follow a certain set of procedures that are all universal. You take your ties off, you take your shirts off, you take your expensive watches off, you take your expensive shoes off, you take everything off that makes you different from anyone else. And you become exactly as you were born the day you started life, from the womb of your mother. And you start saying, today I have decided to join a unique club, a unique ummah, a unique nation, the nation of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And you say, as a man, I'm going to suffice with two pieces of cloth. The same pieces of cloth that you were wrapped in when you were a little child. And for the sisters, they will suffice with a very simple dress. And will all of us, no perfumes, no jewelry, and not only this, you also prepare before you cross the miqat time for this most important and heaviest pillar of Islam, the pillar of the Hajj. How? We are required to fix all of our relations with all the people we know. If you had a fight with somebody, you need to prepare for the relationship to be a better relationship. You need to fix that relationship. If you owe money to somebody, you got to pay off your debts. You have to leave this life and bury the past and leave it clean so you can start over again. In the Christian colloquial habit, and for those brothers and sisters who came to Islam from Christianity, do you know about the so-called born-again Christians? Where I had one man working for me. And he said, Dr. Yahya, I am a born-again Christian. I said, what happened to you? He said, I fell down and I fainted and I woke up and I became a born-again Christian. I told him, in Islam, we don't have the same system, but we make a choice to start over again. And the choice of Hajj is the choice of burying the past and starting over again, fresh and anew. You cover yourself with these two pieces of cloth and you go and proceed in a procession where millions of people become one. The flesh and the blood become one. And there is no difference if you are the most influential executive of a company or a bank or the poorest person who comes from the poorest country. All rubbing shoulders. All maybe hitting and kicking so you can get the benefit of touching the black stone. Some brothers come and tell me, you know, Brother Yahya, I got mad, I got upset because somebody kicked me. I tell them, he did not do it because of you personally. He did it because he wanted or she wanted to touch the black stone or to throw the devil from a close distance. It is not done personally against you, but I think it is done to you personally to test your patience and persevere. Because in Hajj, there is no jidal, there is no arguing, there is no transgression, there is always patience, there is always control, there is always perseverance, there is always the use of your most important gift that Allah has given you, and that's your mental power and mental capability. And in Hajj, we remind Muslims every year where they came from, and what is the original message. The message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We go and do the tawaf around the Kaaba, the first house ever built by man to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Kaaba is nothing but an empty cube, which has how many? That six faces. The top face and the four round faces. And it polarizes the whole world around it, such that the whole world keeps focused on one place. And that's the unity of man, that's the unity of purpose, and that's the unity of direction. We rotate around the Kaaba, seven times, seven tawafs. A reminder that we rotate around an object not to worship the Kaaba, but we rotate around the object that signifies the unity of man. Today, many people, Muslims and non-Muslim alike, they rotate around centers of power. They rotate around centers of money. They rotate around centers of fame. And when we go and do Hajj, we say, no, we reject all of these rotations. We rotate around one center, and that's the center of gravity of this whole world, and that's the Kaaba, which was the first house ever built by man, Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail. We remind ourselves where we came from, the father of all prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And after we do the tawaf, we do two rak'ahs at the maqam al-Ibrahim. Again, a reminder of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then we go and do the sa'i, between the Safa and Marwa, between the two hills, the Safa and the Marwa, to simulate and reincarnate what Hajar went through looking for food and drink for her son Ismail, who was just newly born, so she can provide for him. Again, a reminder for all of us. And not only this, we even simulate the running that she used to do, the Harwala, within a certain place to keep history alive for all Muslims until we die and we can pass on the baton to the next generation. And then we taste the sweet, different tasting water of Ma'i Zamzam, which is again a reminder of the taste that Ismail alayhi salam tasted as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the whole idea. The idea of all these millions becoming one. One body, one entity, one nation, one ummah, the ummah of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the fascinating thing is, you go and see many nations that you probably have never seen before. You see Indonesia, you see Malaysia, you see Africa, you see Asia, you see everywhere in the world. And you see the unique features of how each of these nations prepare for the process of Hajj. The most fascinating experience a Muslim can go through. And then comes the throwing of the devil. And the stones that are standing, they are not the devil. Because Muslims do not believe in touching things. And that's why we believe in al-ghayb, the unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in conceptual ideas. The idea of throwing the devil by stone as a reminder for our subconscious that we are out not to fight each other. We are out not to fight other human beings, but we are out to fight the shaitan in ourselves first and those surrounding us and each and every one of us. So when we go out and invite people to be Muslims, believing in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, we are not out to fight with them. We are not out because we hate them. We are out to fight the shaitan that has controlled them, to get that shaitan out of the way. So we can invite each and every gift that is the man or the woman that Allah has created, invite them back to the way of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is the process of the Hajj, the dress code. And I tell always our acquaintances who come from the Soviet Union, who used to subscribe to communism, I told them that Mr. Lenin missed a big opportunity. When you read his writings, he wanted all people to be equal, dress the same, follow the same book, and be just to each other. I told him that Mr. Lenin tried to rediscover the wheel, because the discovery is here. Because Islam is the answer. He should have learned about the Quran. He should have learned about the experience of Hajj. He should have learned and learned and learned, so he wouldn't have wasted all of these millions of people in a useless struggle, the so-called the struggle for patience and the struggle for equality. And in Hajj, we remember the experience of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I want to remind myself and each and every one of you of the process as described in the Holy Quran that Ibrahim alayhi salam went through so we can discover who we are. You know, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, especially those who were born into Muslim families, those who came from the old Muslim families. We just were born in a Muslim family and we grew up as Muslims. We did not sometimes have the chance to answer a very important question. And that question is, have I personally made the choice to be a Muslim? Did I go through the process or not? And this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam went through as explained in the Holy Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the Quran telling us about Ibrahim detesting what his family was doing, worshipping idols. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ أَذَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً. What happened to you, father? Are you taking idols as your God? And you know, some people say, but there are no idols, brother Yahya, today. Indeed, there are idols. The Hindus and the Buddhists, until today, they have little statues that worship. But more significant than this, they are the big stars that are made and killed in the media. Big, huge names. The latest star is Miss Lewinsky. Who is Miss Lewinsky? A big star. So people sit down and say, here she is, here she comes. Thousands of newspaper editors and cameramen run and spend the money taking pictures after her. Big stars like basketball stars. And you find soon that these stars rise and set. A very well-known basketball star was found to be smuggling drugs in Canada the other day. And people say, how can that happen? We say that happens because he was a star that was manufactured by our whims of imagination. The real stars are the stars that serve people. The real stars are the stars who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The real stars are the stars who are out to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without asking for any reward. So Ibrahim alayhi salam detested what his father was doing. And then he started looking for a God that is more useful than these stone idols that his family used to worship. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا. When the night set upon Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was looking for a God to worship, he saw a star, a rising star. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. He said, this is my God. It is very significant. It is very impressive. It's shining in the sky. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ. When it set, he said, I do not like those who rise and set. Because if you really want to worship God, there must be a permanent God that is always taking care of this whole universe. He looked further, he found the moon. He looked further, he found the sun. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرْ. When he saw the sun bright in the sky, he said, this must be my God. This is bigger. And what happened to the sun? It also set. And then he reached the conclusion quickly. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He said, قَالَ إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I direct my face to the one who has created the heavens and the earth. And then he started telling people, today I am throwing away everything you are doing and I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran describes how Ibrahim made Allah close to these people by describing the gifts of Allah to him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينِ. It is he who has created me and it is he who guides me to the righteous path. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِ. And it is he who provides me with food and drink. وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And if I get sick, it is He, Allah, who cures me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. And it is He who actually causes me to die, and He will resurrect me, inshaAllah, on the Day of Judgment. And finally, and I hope that will be the prayer of each and every one of us, وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. And it is He who I hope will, inshaAllah, forgive me my sins on the Day of Judgment. And then makes the big dua. رَبِّ هَبْ لِي حُكْمًا وَالْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Ya Allah, give me two gifts. And look at the first gift, حُكْمًا. And the word حُكْم is to be firm in decision making, not to be a president or a king, because the good president or the good leader is a person who is firm. Not firm in arrogance, but firm with wisdom. And that's why there is the word hukm and hikmah. Because if you have power and wisdom, then you will be the most successful leader, inshaAllah. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And Ya Allah, make me one of those who follow those salihin that you have blessed. وَجْعَلْنِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And also, make my tongue always, always say the truth. And this is a habit that we all need to learn, including myself. وَجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثِ الْجَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. And make me of those who inherit the Jannah, inshaAllah, Rabbil Alameen. And my dear brother and sister Islam, Ibrahim alayhi salam went through a long process. First, by destroying the idols, and by being punished for it. And his family, when they looked for those who destroyed the God, they said, who did this? They said, Ibrahim. So Ibrahim was put in a pit of fire. And the reward came to him immediately. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Allah says in the Quran, we ordered the fire to be cold and peace to Ibrahim. And you know, today many of the Muslims, including you, who start working hard and making sure that they subscribe to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the sisters who decide to wear the hijab or is no hijab, the brothers who have decided to worship Allah and pray in time, the brothers who have decided to always say the truth and not drink, all of them are those who have decided to be tested. And that's why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Qabidu ala deenih, mithl al-Qabidu ala al-Jamr. Those who are so strong in holding to their religion, it's as if you are holding in your hands a burning piece of coal. This is the fire. And inshaAllah, Allah will reward you by making it easy on you. And I give you my personal experience. Yes, it is difficult. But over the years, if you stick to your beliefs, inshaAllah, it will be easy on you. And Ibrahim migrates. And Ibrahim starts looking for a family and raising a family. And Ismail was his first son. And Ismail grows up just about to take over the responsibility of propagating Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the real test. What's the test? That you, Ya Ibrahim, should sacrifice your son. You know, my dear brother and sister Islam, we ask brothers and sisters to donate fi sabilillah, $2, $10, $20, and they find it very difficult. But the big test was, Ibrahim, you should sacrifice your son fi sabilillah. And look at what happened. Ibrahim did not grab his son and say, my son, you are my ownership. I own you. I'm going to slaughter you because Allah has done that. And there are many Muslims who do that today. They take the law in their hands and say, I am the good Muslim. I'm going to punish all of those who do not do what I want. Ibrahim, the father of all prophets, he went to his son, asking his permission. What do you see, my son? And look at the good Muslim son. Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. My father, do whatever Allah has ordered you. You will find me, inshaAllah, min as-sabirin, amongst those who are patient. And then wafadanahu bidhbhin azim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that whole episode with a sacrifice of the lamb to be slaughtered. He passed the test. But what is the reward? And I want to make this clear to me and to each and every one of you. When Ibrahim alayhi salam passed the test, his reward was not to sit and relax. No. His reward was, Ya Ibrahim, now you have become the most licensed Muslim. You know, when civil engineers want to build a building here in America or anywhere, or architects, they have to pass the exam, and then they have to pass the license to get the license. Ibrahim passed all the tests, and his reward is not to sit and do nothing, but his honor and reward is to go and build the first house ever built to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters Islam, if you work fi sabilillah and you get more work and you ask when Allah is going to give me the relaxation and the comfort, the answer is your relaxation and comfort will be when you are underground, when you be resurrected and you will be in paradise inshaAllah. But the more work fi sabilillah you get, the more honor that Allah is giving you. Never give up. Never wane. Always work as hard as you can fi sabilillah. And inshaAllah, Allah will give you life, health and strength and give you children that will always help you carry out the whole idea of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم
إنه نعم المولى ونعم النصير
أدعو الله يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم اللهم الله الله اللهم الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله بجميعها إلا الشرك به والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى التابعين. My dear brothers and sisters Islam, there is no better sight in this world than the sight of the standing on Arafat, the wukuf by Arafat, and standing out there amongst all the Muslims and chanting with the Muslims during the Hajj experience, لبيك اللهم لبيك. Ya Allah, you have called for us and we have run, hurrying up to get to fulfill our obligations. La sharika laka labbaik. We witness and we actually are announcing to the whole world that we associate nobody else but with you, Ya Allah, and we worship none but you, Ya Allah. One little remark that was made by Mr. Wolf, who was an announcer at NBC, who did Hajj on the air last year, and he said, if you want to meet the world around the block, come and see the Kaaba. Because you go and rotate, you will find literally the whole world around one block. And that's the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those of you who are planning to go for Hajj in the future, please take that opportunity, not just to worship, but to meet people. This is the whole idea. Get to know cultures. Get to open up to the rest of the world. So inshallah, the Hajj experience will be both spiritual and physical in the fact that we all bind Muslims together. So inshallah, the 21st century will be the century of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The second point I want to share with you. I remember when I was growing up in Egypt as a young man. When the man or the woman reach the age of 60, they say, now is the time to go for Hajj. I want to go and cleanse all the bad things that I have done. So the average age of the Hajji used to be 60, 65, back in the 50s and the 60s. Today, the average age of the Hajji is about 25 to 30. In the past, they used to go to prepare for death. Today, Muslim young men and women are going for Hajj to prepare for the future, to prepare to change the world, to become a world of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, inshaAllah, Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma inni da'in faquru ameen. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimin wal muslimat, wal mu'minin wal mu'minat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Innaka anta sami'un mujibud da'awat, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma arfa' baqtaka wa ghadabaka anna. Allahumma kun ma'ana, ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. Almighty God, we pray that you will guide us on the righteous path, that you will make the Holy Quran the articulacy of our tongue, the wisdom of our mind, the comfort of our hearts, and the light by which we seek the truth and the guidance to the righteous path. Almighty God, we pray that you will give us the best gift in this life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما.
And those who say, Ya Allah, give us the best gift in this life, and that spouses, husbands and wives, and offsprings, children and grandchildren, that will be the best achievers for your cause and the comfort of our hearts, Ya Allah. Almighty God, we pray that you will bring happiness to the sad, and sustenance to the poor, and home to the homeless, and shelter to the shelterless, and clothing for those who do not have it, and speedy recovery for the sick and the ill amongst us, and that you will accept those who died before us in paradise, and that you will take oppression from the oppressed, and that you will give victory for all Muslims, and that you will accept those who died in Hajj this year in paradise, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. O Allah, we pray that for those brothers and sisters who are working to make Hajj a better experience, to make the facilities better facilities, that Ya Allah, you will reward them and you will give them more and more wisdom to make Hajj a more peaceful and a more safe experience. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we pray that you will guide us all to the righteous path. Allahumma akhfil al muslimin wa al muslimat wa al mu'minin wa al mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wa al amwat innaka anta sami'un mujibu al da'awat ya rabbi alamin. Before I leave, this is the fourth day of the Eid, so after we finish the salah inshallah, we'll do takbiratul Eid. And I want it as loud as we can, inshallah. Is that a promise? Takbiratul Eid inshallah. And then inshallah we're going to ask Allah to accept those who died in different places in paradise. Eid Mubarak to all of you. If you have not done it yet, please take care of your children. Take them to picnics, buy them gifts, call your friends, enjoy the Eid. Happy Eid to you. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Fatuhu in there. Allahu Akbar,
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Akbar, La ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر.
لا إله إلا الله. محمد رسول الله. استووا. Stand up in straight lines. Don't leave gaps among your ranks. اللهم تقبل منا. اللهم احسن وفوفنا بعدك ولا تخزنا يوم الغرب عليك.
الله اكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. والله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر.
الله أكبر. والله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.